All right, we're here with Mason Morfitt from the Microsoft Board of Directors. And Mason, let's start by asking, what happened to your hand?
Well, I just got back from a ski trip last week with my kids, and I was going down a blue run at medium pace and just tripped over my own feet, and the next thing I knew, I had torn a ligament in my thumb. So I'm laid up for 4 weeks with a splint, but it's going to be fine.
And you're still able to play guitar, I hope?
I'm trying. I am using an unorthodox middle finger technique, but it's getting there.
Tell us a little bit about your background, particularly your experience as an investor.
Sure. So I've been working at one firm for the most of my career, Value Act Capital. I joined it when I was 25 years old. Prior to that, I'd been working at a big investment bank in New York called Credit Suisse First Boston in the late 90s, which was an interesting experience. Got a good grounding in some of the basic fundamentals. But Value Act was a startup at the time I joined. It had three founders and me and one of my other partners now. And I did everything from answer the get lunch for people, grab coffee, and answer the front phone lines. We got backed by a wealthy family in San Francisco that founded the Gap stores, and we had this idea that you could invest in stocks and not just trade them like pieces of paper, but actually think like an owner, hold them for a long time, over time develop a relationship with the people that worked at the company and the management team and the board of directors, and perhaps play some role in helping the company grow and succeed. At the time we started the firm, that was a pretty silly idea because that just wasn't the way the world worked. The world of executives and boards of directors was very distinct from the world of shareholders. Over time, a number of things have happened that have brought those two worlds together, and we're sort of in the process right now as a system of figuring out how that's going to work. The biggest events happened about 10 or 15 years ago when the corporate scandals of Enron and WorldCom really changed the landscape for corporate governance in terms of the rules that companies have to play by and really the attitudes that executives and board members had towards their responsibilities to shareholders. That opened the door for our idea to really work, and after that period, 2002-2003, we started being welcomed onto a lot of boards and working with a lot of companies, and had a great time building businesses. And we also learned a lot about how companies worked.
What attracted you to Microsoft? What was your initial investment thesis, and what opportunities excited you most?
So if we go back to what I talked about, only investing in the world's best businesses, I think Microsoft is one of the world's best businesses, perhaps one of the few best businesses the world has ever seen, in terms of the scientific history, the innovation legacy, the customer base, the installed base, and the multiple and diverse streams of cash flow that feed this company. Our perspective was that lost in this negativity around what was going on with PCs and the disruptions that were coming from mobile and cloud were the fact that Microsoft is much more than just a Windows or PC company, that it has two-thirds of the earnings of the company at the time were not coming from Windows, they were coming from Office, and they were coming from the servers and tools business. And if you took the threat of disruption from the cloud and mobile and turned it on its head and said, what might that mean in terms of an opportunity for growth for the company, you could see that maybe there was a really bright future if you built upon those pillars of strength, and then ultimately Windows itself could have a very bright future as well in this world. And we bought the majority of our stock into that period of negativity in the first quarter of 2013. We bought about $2 billion worth of shares. And I've been really happy with the progress that the company has made since then. It's been a great run. I think the stock market has started to realize that Microsoft does have a very bright future, and a lot of the moves management's made in the last year have pointed in that direction, and some of the investments that have been made are bearing fruit as we speak, and there's a lot more to come in the future.
So how has your thesis changed over time? I saw you bought another million shares in January.
Sure. So when we bought our first position, it was a bet on these assets. And I think now, 2 years later, it's not only a bet on the assets, but it's a bet on the team and the direction that we've got. I'm really happy with the management team at Microsoft and the board of directors. I've gotten to know them, obviously, a lot better now that I've spent a year on the board.
You joined the board during a significant transformation at Microsoft. How do you view the leadership structure?
I'll talk about the structure in terms of the management and the board, and I'm really pleased with both. At the board level, I think John Thompson's done an incredible job of leading this company through this transition that transitions by their very nature are disruptive, not always harmonious, and difficult conversations, difficult issues have to get worked through. And the board internally is very, very fact-based, very, very open-minded. In fact, one of the things that surprised me to the positive is some initial analysis that me and my team and I had done on Microsoft. I'd shared with Satya and John, and they immediately posted on the internal intranet site for the board members to read. Now, usually, that type of complete transparency and fact-based decision-making and willingness to embrace challenge from the outside is not, I will not say it's not the norm in corporate America, but it was embraced here. John's also done a great job on outreach to shareholders, which I think is a critical part of the board's responsibility to take input from what the owners of the company think, reflect it back to the board, but then also have a dialogue and a direct dialogue with the owners of the company. So at that level, everything is great. Similarly, the leadership under Satya is taken on a tone of real transparency and intellectual honesty and willingness to accept criticism, challenge, and not afraid of facing facts, whether they're good or bad. And I found it to be a complete open door for me. I've spent a lot of time up here with leaders from the Xbox team, from the servers and tools team, from the Office team, on the Windows team, and I think that says a lot about the culture that that Satya's building here. So I've got nothing but good things to say about the team here.
What changes or initiatives at Microsoft do you view to be most critical to drive future growth, profitability, and value creation?
Well, I think Office 365, particularly on commercial, Office 365 is the thing that I pay the most attention to. How are the subscriber numbers coming in? Which SKUs are they buying? What is the win-loss rate versus competition in the productivity cloud? Related to that is the businesses we have in the servers and tools group, the database businesses, and the roadmap we have there in terms of the SQL Server product launches, the big data, both internal projects and external collaborations we have, and tracking those things are what's top of mind for me. Now, looming in the background is Windows 10, which is coming out later this year. I'm obviously keeping a close eye on that, although there isn't much external validation we can see yet, but that's a really important piece of the puzzle. One of the things that I do is try to stay in touch with customers as much as I can, and also resellers. And there is a really good buzz out there right now about the cloud products that we've got.
What are your thoughts about Microsoft's approach to corporate governance?
So, Microsoft is a is unique in a lot of ways, but one of them is the sheer size of the market cap and the breadth of where the shares are held. I mean, we do not have a very concentrated shareholder base. It's rare that anybody owns 1% of the shares. And so, given that massive and diffuse shareholder base, the company has taken an approach that I think is really great, which is a very transparent communications, both in terms of the proxy statement and how that reads to the shareholder base, the annual report, how that it's very plain spoken, it's very open. Things like what we're doing here, different ways of communicating with this base, and then also John Thompson should be commended for his outreach work, meeting one-on-one with shareholders and getting their feedback. So the that's step one, is the tone from the top and the attitude of how you're going to go about doing this. Internally, and this is a view that I don't think anyone gets unless they're inside the boardroom at board meetings, this company does a great job of encouraging constructive criticism and dissent, right? There's almost an obligation to dissent if you don't agree with something. And it's grounded with a very well-constructed and transparent set of metrics and financials that the team can get around the table and discuss. So overall, from how it's functioning at a outreach and communication level to a tone and behavioral norms inside the board to the kind of fact base that we're working with, I think it's really world class.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.